Morning, everyone. We're here for public forum. Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
More likely in a classroom around America today to see the pride flag displayed rather than the American flag. That's why Vice Chairman Calkins' flag project is brilliant. It's a finger in the eye of the darkness moving through our country, attempting to take it over.
I am all for having a flag flying that would be one of the largest in the nation and possibly the world, inspiring people as they pass through or live here. My suggestions are to find ways to fund without burdening the taxpayers. Use taxpayer money to help the people of Santa Rosa County.
Well, we got here. We finally got to the day where they're going to take action on the Florida's largest flag idea from Commissioner James Calkins, an election year stunt, which is that's fine. That's what election years are for, right, stunts? You know, what was kind of interesting, a lot of back and forth, not surprising. They didn't make a decision, also not surprising. They did find out from the clerk of the court, Comptroller Don Spencer, that they weren't going to be able to use tourism development tax money for it. At least not yet, not unless it is more clearly connected to tourism in a location that makes more sense for that. What I thought was interesting was some of the analysis and explanation that James Calkins gave for why 207 feet.
We submitted the bids. We basically said that we want a flag that's the tallest in Florida. The current flag that's in Florida that's the tallest is down in Orlando, and it's 200 feet tall. And we said, well, let's go higher than that. So what number should it be? So 207 is the number we chose. 7 is the Lord's number. So that's why 7 was chosen. Also, the flagpole itself will be 227 feet, but 20 feet going to the ground. Let me tell you the significance of 27 feet. 27, or 27, the number 27. 27 was the grievances that our founders sent to King George. And there's also 27 amendments to the U.S. Constitution.
What? I mean, even if you can get to the 27 is a cool number, it's 7 feet on top of the number's 207, not 27, and the 7 above and the 20 below. I'm not sure how that turns into the amendments and the grievances to King George. But I will tell you, this is not the first time that Commissioner Calkins has acknowledged that he has a weird fixation with numbers. It reminded me of a clip that goes back a couple of years when they were talking about budgets and kind of an odd number on an agenda item, then Sam Parker asking a similar question. This is from 2021, and I happen to have it in my archives. We never played it because I couldn't figure out why it'd be relevant, and suddenly I'm like, oh, okay.
Fully support the town of Jay trying to do their recreation. I just had to speak up and go on record by saying that is the oddest budget amount. $22,223, not a penny more. So I thought it was the oddity. So I'm sure there was a rationale behind that, and so I just kind of made the comical elements to it. But no, I appreciate you helping the town of Jay with that.
Well, I appreciate it, Commissioner Parker. I would like to say that 7 is the Lord's number, so I use that in everything. So when we gave to the FFA, we did, you know, I wanted to try to give more than the former commissioner. I love the former commissioner, but I'm very competitive. I try to get more for him. And so he gave $5,000, so I thought, you know, let's give $5,777. And the same with the funds for the park. It was $27,777. And so that's why the rest of the request is now $22,223. So that explains the 7. So thank you.
Does it? I don't even know what to say. Although I will say this, they decided to let the tourism development, the TDC, the tourism commission, I forget the C what stands for. I should look it up. They're going to decide how to get it in line with using TDT money. They're going to still try to put up the flag. They're going to try to use it for not ad valorem money, general budget money. And we'll see where that goes, because as of right now, it's a no-go because Don Spencer said he would not write the check for it. So that's a little slice of life in your county commission in Santa Rosa County. Coming up next is Transgressors Memorial Service. Jake has got your traffic on the fives.
Okay, I'm not really seeing any major slowdowns on our roadways. We do have at South New Warrington Road and Chiefs Way, we do have a vehicle crash with roadblock there, but not really causing any major slowdowns at the moment. Otherwise, around town, Highway 98 through Gulf Breeze and Navarre is looking good. If you're coming out of Milton through Pace on Highway 90 this morning, no accidents reported along your way. Highway 29 south through Cantonment is looking good. And Davis Highway is clear from the I-10 overpass through Creighton, Brent, and Fairfield. If you see anything out there on our roadways slowing us down, let us know on our traffic tip line, 437-1620, call or text. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Your road to adventure starts with the 2024 Subaru Outback and the 2024 Subaru Forester. Both come standard with symmetrical all-wheel drive for confidence along the way. The Subaru Outback, according to Kelley Blue Book, is one of the best family cars of 2023. And according to Auto Trader and my good friend Max here, the Subaru Forester is one of the 2023 best cars for dog lovers. For information on all the awards and accolades from Kelley Blue Book and Auto Trader on the Subaru brand, the Subaru Outback, and the Subaru Forester, visit KellyBlueBookKBB.com and AutoTrader.com. Whether you're a Forester family or an Outback family, your road to adventure starts in a Subaru. Get yours during the Subaru Lot to Love event. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Kelley Blue Book is a registered trademark of Kelley Blue Book Company, Incorporated. Auto Trader is a registered trademark and used with permission.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Wrap up your day with all of the national, state, local sports and entertainment news with Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Austin on News Radio 92.3.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance this week is for the phrase, Come to Jesus Meeting. During the afterglow of the State of the Union address, The Holy and Anointed One and all-around best shoulder rubber from Delaware, President Joe Biden, was overheard bragging to Senator Mike Bennett that he had told Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu that they needed to have a come-to-Jesus meeting about the ongoing war in the Gaza Strip. Obviously, it is unacceptable to tell the Jewish leader of the Jewish nation that what he needs is anything even metaphorically relating to Jesus, let alone to meet the Messiah he does not believe in. Even though Biden claims Netanyahu understood the expression,
I've known Bibi for 50 years, and he knew what I meant by it.
It's clear from listening to Bibi himself that this is not the case.
Well, I don't know exactly what the president meant.
And despite Biden's attempt to explain away the clear religious intolerance of the phrase,
what do you mean by that?
What I meant was, it's an expression used in the southern part of my state, meaning a serious meeting.
This weak sauce justification does not survive even the basic wokest scrutiny. Now, fortunately for the hair sniffer in chief, his lifetime golden immunity card for any and all verbal gaffes is still in good standing. However, this incident has made us reflect upon the Christian cultural imperialism at the heart of this formerly common expression. Obviously, the phrase can't be said to anyone who's not a Christian, which is most of the world's population, including Hindus, Muslims, Buddhists, Sikhs, Jains, Zoroastrians, Baha'is, Taoists, Confucians, and, of course, atheists. But even to other Christians, what a hostile and judgmental thing to tell a fellow believer that they're doing Christianity so wrong that they need to re-encounter the Son of God. What next? Shall they be told that they should go forth and sin no more? That they must forsake everything and come follow Jesus? No! None of these admonitions are allowed. No talk of being blind and then later seeing. No call for Damascus Road epiphanies. No eyes having seen the glory of anything ever. And certainly no telling Jews that they need to come to Jesus. He who can do no wrong did a wrong. Let it never be done again. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, saying cheese when taking school photographs. As the wonderful Level 3 Certified Priests of Animal Equity at the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals have taught us this week, there is a gross verbal injustice being perpetrated upon our precious and vulnerable children during school photos every year. The practice of having them say, cheese. To induce a smile, which of course serves only to remind children of bovine suffering at the hands of their dairy farm oppressors. Considering the cruelty and anguish endured by cows everywhere who are routinely exploited as milk machines, it is the height of speciesist language to make the food byproduct of cow enslavement a prompt for artificial happiness in photography. Simply put, cheese is no smiling matter. The exploitation of mother cows, the non-consensual taking of calf sustenance, the utter atrocity of it all is almost too much to bear. As PETA explains in their very enlightening press release on the matter, say cheese is so last century. But as Vikram's fifth dictum of linguistic evolution teaches, we must always provide a replacement for the newly forbidden term, lest the faithful backslide into their former speech habits. So what then are we to use as a verbal alternative to the horrifyingly callous phrase, say cheese? Well, here are some suggested alternatives from PETA. Say peas. What child doesn't love the flavor of little balls of green happiness bursting in their mouths? Say bees. Everyone knows the vital role bees play in our global ecology, and learning to appreciate them would be a wonderful switch. Say sneeze. It may sound silly, but what child doesn't enjoy the absurdity of thinking about sneezing while taking the class photo, and if they happen to actually sneeze in the process, so much the better. But my favorite substitute from PETA by far is the educational phrase, say nutritional yeast. Now children everywhere can consider the miracle of fungal fermentation when they're sitting for snapshots. Of course, if say cheese is to go, just as obviously we should stop referring to trite or clumsy romantic overtures as being cheesy, as though bovine trafficking is mere wink and nod silliness. We never want to refer to someone in authority or significance as the big cheese. And clearly, we can teach children actual biological terms like flatulence instead of letting them say, cut the cheese. In thus cleansing our language of all cheese references, PETA is again bending the arc of the moral universe toward justice. Justice for cows. Yes, just as PETA has in the past encouraged us to replace bring home the bacon with bring home the bagels, and to give up saying kill two birds with one stone in favor of feed two birds with one scone, we now thank them for creating a global revolution, raising cow empathy by having oddly dressed children everywhere smile widely while saying the new animal-honoring phrase, nutritional yeast. What fun. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, A note of celebration for the ongoing work of the U.S. Army to remake itself into an organization which is less violent, less warlike, and of course, less patriotic all the time. In this case, the United States Military Academy is changing its mission statement to remove the words duty, honor, country, famously uttered by General Douglas MacArthur during his 1962 speech at the institution.
Duty, honor, country.
As the new announced mission statement from Superintendent Lieutenant General Steve Gilland says, it will be identical to the old one, except that instead of saying each graduate shall be, quote, a commissioned leader of character committed to the values of duty, honor, country, the new verbiage will be commissioned leader of character committed to the Army values. He says the duty, honor, country will still be in the motto of West Point, as it has been since 1898, but cadets will no longer say it in the mission statement. Of course, we love this. In part because it separates West Point from the quarter century of tradition, quoting some warmongering general of yore. In part because any time we can get members of the military to be less devoted to silly ideas like duty, honor, and country, that's healthy. But the real reason we adore this change is because it switches from three specific, comprehensible, and substantial virtues to vague placeholders that carry no real content whatsoever, which can thus be shaped anew with each passing shift in the cultural winds swirling around the academy. Now, instead of contemplating whether they're being dutiful, honorable, or patriotic, cadets can simply ask themselves whether they're being army-ish, whatever that means. And because it means nothing, it can mean everything or anything we decide. But we especially love the implied declaration that just because someone actually wore five stars on his shoulder, that his words carry no more importance than whatever insignificantly bland terminology a mere three-star dreams up today. Of course, we can only hope the Boy Scouts of America will follow this lead and shed their long-standing and cumbersomely specific scout law. A scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. And instead, scouts can simply say, a scout is very scout-like. So much the better. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
As you depart today, remember to fill out your evidence of virtue cards found in the bulletin and drop them in the tabulator at the rear of the sanctuary. Be sure to indicate how many times this week you reported as offensive a social media post by a conservative, how many times you audibly praised President Biden for his good work on the economy while you were gassing up your car or buying groceries, and how many times you used the labels homophobic, transphobic, anti-choice, racist, or microaggression in the past week. Remember, the bottom 10% of scorers will be serving detention in Fellowship Hall this Saturday. Refreshments this week are provided by Hair and Hair Alike, nutritional fiber biscuits made from recycled barbershop sweepings. Finding new ways to make life miserable, these tasty morsels will really tickle your insides pink with their unpatented cleansing bristles. Make a clean sweep of your lower intestinal tract today with Hair and Hair Alike biscuits. You can really taste the despair.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
628 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Jake has got traffic for us. Jake?
All right, not seeing too much on our roadways to report to you at the moment. Not seeing any major slowdowns. Highway 98 is looking good through Gulf Breeze and Navarre. If you're coming out of Milton through Pace on Highway 90 this morning, don't see anything really slowing you down there. Highway 29 South is good from the cutoff in Molino through Cantonment. We're looking good from 12th Avenue through to Palafox and W Street. And not showing any slowdowns on Cervantes and Bayfront Parkway, checking in without delays. If you see anything out there on our roadway slowing us down, let us know about it. Call or text 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jake. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, it's a busy day for the Biden administration ahead of the St. Patrick's Day weekend. President Biden meeting with Irish Prime Minister Leo Varadkar today. Biden has faced some criticism in Ireland for his handling of the Israel-Hamas war. And meanwhile, Vice President Kamala Harris hosting a roundtable discussion today on marijuana reform with rapper Fat Joe, Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear, and several individuals who've received pardons for prior cannabis convictions.
Just say cheese.
Yeast.
No, yeah, say just nutritional say yeast. That's right.
That, again,
just a reminder, that really is something PETA suggested. Nutritional yeast for children. Sitting further.
It's got a ring to it, doesn't it?
It really doesn't. David, thanks so much for the update. Hey, if you have a plumbing issue of any kind, a leak, a drip, a weird sound on the wall, you can't stop saying cheese, Barbary Plumbing, they will take care of you. Flat rate pricing by the job, not by the hour. They'll even fix the things that you fixed. I had that recently, and they were great. They took care of the thing that I did wrong. 477-8782 for Barbary Plumbing. David Wayne will have your local news coming up next, right after Fox News. Stick around.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. The reports of at least 6 people killed in Ohio and dozens injured in tornadoes hitting Ohio, Indiana, and Kentucky.
Search and rescue operations are underway in Indiana after a possible tornado slammed Selma and Winchester. And this man in Milton, Kentucky says a twister hit there.
You look at the damage and you're like, wow, how could something like this happen?
Carmen Roberts, Fox News.
U.S. District Court Judge Eileen Cannon says no to dismissing Donald Trump's criminal charges for withholding classified documents on the basis that the charges related to the Espionage Act are unconstitutionally vague.
There's still one motion out there hanging. Throughout the 4 hours in court, there was some real skepticism on the part of this judge. She said dismissing this case might be premature. She also said it might be better left to a jury.
Fox's Steve Harrigan in Fort Pierce, Florida. The other motion to dismiss is based on the Presidential Records Act. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. It is 68 degrees, a little cloudy, a little foggy this morning in Pensacola. Some testy moments yesterday during the discussion over the largest American flag being housed at the Santa Rosa County Administrative Offices.
We've got important work, gentlemen. We've got really important work to get done on this board. That flag is very important, but there's a reason why we do not see government getting involved with these contests. The minute we build a 207-foot flag and put it out in this parking lot is the minute that Burt's Harley-Davidson in Clearwater puts up a 209-foot flag.
That from Commissioner Kerry Smith after Commissioner James Calkins initially pushed to accept a $291,000 bid and use tourist development tax dollars to pay for it. Clerk of Court and Comptroller Donald Spencer said he wouldn't write a check for it, which prompted this exchange between Smith and County Attorney Tom Danheiser.
So would this result in going into litigation, possibly,
unlike some other counties, I would strongly recommend any litigation.
What I'm trying to say. I'm looking at our neighbors and seeing what we're having as far as checks written and not written by the clerk.
Spencer later said he would be open to the Tourist Development Council determining the appropriate location for TDT funds to be used. Calkin says he'll discuss the issue with the TDC and bring their ideas back to the board. Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons celebrating the opening of the Real-Time Crime Center. They call it Star Network. Staff from his office and PPD both monitoring ShotSpotter sensors and feeds to over 100 cameras around the county.
We partnered with the Board of County Commissioners to give us the feeds from the Department of Transportation, so roadway feeds. We have feeds from the school district, and we obviously have feeds from the city of Pensacola, about 800 camera feeds from downtown Pensacola throughout the city of Pensacola.
And Simmons tells our friends over at Channel 3 that that partnership extends also to Mobile and Okaloosa counties. They also have real-time crime centers there. And he says this was funded with $1 million in local options sales tax money. The union representing Santa Rosa County teachers now says they have reached a contract agreement with the school district, but they took less than what they were looking for.
The district had a huge increase in discretionary funding this year. Almost a 6% increase in discretionary funding. And we thought that increase in discretionary funding warranted more than a 2.07% salary increase from discretionary funds.
That from Union President David Godwin. He says combined with money from the state, teachers should receive an average salary increase of 3.87%. He says they had sought a hearing with the school board where they would either choose the union's or the district's proposal. The district, though, sought a hearing with a special magistrate, which would likely not have taken place until the summer. Godwin says had that happened, they would have missed the deadline to receive pay raises from the state. Now, the Florida Highway Patrol says an 83-year-old man died yesterday in that crash on Mobile Highway. Troopers say the man was leaving the Walmart parking lot about 8:30 that morning when he drove into the path of a Volkswagen. That man was taken to the hospital where he was pronounced dead. The driver of the Volkswagen suffered minor injuries in that crash. It is 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with Jake.
Well, not seeing much on our roadways this morning at South New Warrington Road and Chiefs Way. We do have a vehicle crash with roadblock there, not really slowing things down too much this time of the morning. Otherwise, around town, we're looking good. Highway 90 is clear from Milton into Pace. Lillian, Jackson, Navy, New Warrington, accident-free on the west side, except for that one that I just mentioned on South New Warrington. And then let's see here, West Detroit Boulevard, Johnson Avenue, Olive Road looking good. Gregory Street, Garden Street, Palafox all checking in clear. Highway 98 through Gulf Breeze and Navarre is flowing smoothly. And it looks like I-10 and I-110 are at posted speeds. If you do see anything else out there slowing us down on the roadways, let me know about it. You can call or text 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
And now our Channel 3 forecast.
A couple of rain chances ahead as we end the work week and head into the weekend. Here on Friday, we have a scattered thunderstorm chance, a couple showers too during the afternoon and evening hours. On Saturday, that rain chance drops down considerably, but it comes right back up on Sunday during the afternoon and evening as well. Sunday, we could even see some stronger storms move through the area as highs continue in the upper 70s through the weekend. That's your weather forecast for now. I'm meteorologist Joseph Neubauer here at WEAR News.
Right now, 68 in Pensacola, 67 in Gulf Breeze, 69 in Milton. Your next news at 7 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Adobe shares tumbled 11% in extended trading yesterday after issuing strong fiscal first quarter results. Adobe's revenue grew 11% year over year in the quarter ending on March 1st. However, Adobe paid design software startup Figma a $1 billion termination fee for abandoning its $20 billion acquisition after regulators found competitive concerns. Adobe also announced it will be working with OpenAI to develop an artificial intelligence assistant for its Reader and Acrobat apps. A National Retail Federation survey says retailers lost more than $101 billion from refund fraud last year. It is the practice of tricking stores into reimbursing a customer for a purchase without an item actually physically being returned. Believe it or not, tricks on how to be successful have showed up on Reddit, TikTok, and Telegram. Futures are slightly higher. That's your money now.
I have diabetes. I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
I have asthma. I'm at risk, too.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine, a Pfizer vaccine that can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym for a while.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone.
Lower T.
Yeah, I went through it a while back. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The patented key ingredient is something called Testofen, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference. For you?
Man, I feel like I'm in my 20s again. At work, in the gym, and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text.
Text ALL to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text ALL to 321-321. That's ALL to 321-321.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. McKee Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from George Stone Technical College. Have a boating question for Stefan? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more. On News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, 641 here on News Radio 92.3. Still playing follow-up to some of the things that happened last week during a session in Tallahassee. I think one of the more interesting bills was a late change. It was a bill that died early in the process and then got brought back as an add-on to a, I think it was a work and job regulation bill is what it got added to. And this is the one that pushed the age for working in a strip club up to 21. You know, so 18, 19, and 20-year-old women can't be strippers is now, if the governor signs it, going to be the law. David Barrero, and there was a lot, it's a little bit of an adult topic, okay, but because of why they passed it this way, but a lot of very interesting things in the conversation. This is Representative David Barrero.
Mr. Speaker, we have to change the way that we view strip clubs and adult theaters. Because what we are regulating isn't just sexual conduct, it's trafficking, it's sexual abuse and human exploitations, because there truly are victims and traffickers involved in this industry. Who are the victims? Victims of sex trafficking are women, men, and minors who are frequently recruited to work in strip clubs across the United States. They can be U.S. citizens or foreign nationals with valid visas, with or without valid documentation. Once in the United States, a network of drivers transport the women to and from the clubs where they work and the group houses where they live and play inflated rent. There are traffickers. Traffickers in strip clubs may be the business owners, shift leaders, fake massage business managers, brothel managers, or independent traffickers. Strip club owners are generally considered women to be independent contractors or employees of the escort manager driving network, not the club. And they often require the women to pay a house fee for the club for the space to perform.
And that's just kind of understanding the context. But also, David Burroughs referring to a Washington Post article talking about, you know, strip clubs and their place in the culture and a law enforcement officer, longtime law enforcement officer that worked almost entirely in this domain.
The following comes from an article published by an associate at Weatherhead Center at Harvard University. He's a former judge advocate general officer, prosecutor, and criminal defense attorney. He said, strip clubs are the perfect environment for sexual abuse, and strip clubs are well-known fronts enabling prostitution and sex trafficking. In his article, he quoted a police officer for the Las Vegas Police Department and a head of their vice unit who has over 35 years of experience in law enforcement and a lifetime of dealing with experience with strip clubs. Here's what he had to say. He said, in a personal interview, the police officer stated that during her entire career, none of the strip clubs were quote-unquote clean. The owners of strip clubs understand they are in a dirty business. No strip club survives where the promise of sex acts in back rooms, VIP rooms, or local hotels is not also realized. Strip club managers have to balance keeping alive the environment that keeps the predatory males coming back for more while trying to give the appearance of staying within legal limits.
God, that is such an accurate analysis. You are deliberately raising and cultivating and feeding all of the worst, most dangerous impulses in a guy. But then you have to do it just to the degree that they don't actually engage in any illegal behavior, right? But that managing that fine line, that's the challenge. That's exactly right.
You reported a troubling trend of where prostitution is moving off the streets into strip clubs as pimps and members of organized crime see the safety that strip clubs provide. Can you imagine that? Strip clubs are a place of safety for pimps and organized crime.
Which is a very different kind of environment. I mean, anybody who watched The Sopranos, you know, you understand a lot of this too. But, you know, really understanding what goes on in strip clubs is not something that an awful lot of people really do think about very much, and you don't maybe, you know, don't want to think about it very much. But the question they were asking about 18, 19, and 20-year-old women was this.
FBI task force, they stated that it's no secret that pimps and traffickers will go to strip clubs to try to find girls to traffic and promote or compel them into prostitution. For years, they have used the clubs to break down the inhibitions of their young girls. The use of drugs among dancers is common to numb the reality of their daily abuse. Members, why do I bring that up? Because this bill is a good, common sense bill. Why would we want 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds, teenagers, some are still in high school, in environments where they are targeted, they're recruited by pimps, they are likely to be trafficked and sold into prostitution and sex slavery?
And again, understanding the connections between all of these things, and it doesn't, again, doesn't take a lot of imagination to believe that. Now, there are things that are being done, but I really thought this final comment by Barrero was fairly poignant, and it makes you think about, if you go to a place like that, what are you really looking at?
In an ideal world, to customers and patrons of strip clubs, these are safe places, but here's the inconvenient truth. If you've ever gone into a strip club, the chances are high that you've encountered someone who is 18, 19-year-old girl who is being trafficked. The difference between trafficking and just some benign, some regular act of adult performance is the act of coercion. When there's fraud, force, or coercion involved, there is sex trafficking.
And, of course, there may be times when that's not involved, but you don't know. And it is involved some of the time. He's right. The odds are, if you're at a strip club, you're seeing women, some of whom are there just voluntarily because it's a way to make money, some of whom are there involuntarily, coercion, fraud, force, right? We'll finish this up, let the Democrat respond. Michelle Rayner had a response to all of this. We'll talk about that in a second. Jake has got traffic on the fives.
All right, not seeing any major slowdowns on our roadways. We still have at South New Warrington Road and Chiefs Way, we have a vehicle crash from earlier with roadblock there, but not really seeing any major slowdown. This traffic report brought to you by Florida Department of Transportation. Looking elsewhere on the maps, Highway 98 through Gulf Breeze and Navarre looks like it's good. If you're coming out of Milton this morning through Pace on Highway 90, not seeing any accidents along your way. We do have an accident reported at North Davis and Copter Road, but the roadway is listed as clear there, so I'm not going to see probably any slowdowns from that. And Highway 29 is good south through Cantonment and Inslee area. If you do see anything else out there on the roadway slowing us down, you can always call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. Hey, listeners, before celebrating St. Patrick's Day this year, decide whether you'll drink or you'll drive. If you plan to drink, make sure you designate a sober driver. Don't let your luck run out. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jake. Back to the discussion about the age for strippers and strip clubs, which the legislature pushed up to 21. I don't have the bill number in front of me, so I can't verify. I think it was an almost unanimous vote, I think, in both chambers. It was close to unanimous. I remember that, you know, some of these things have been controversial. I don't think this one was all that. I could be wrong, and if I'm wrong, somebody might know and they could text me, but I think it was almost unanimous. Anyway, Michelle Rayner, who is, you know, very, very liberal lady in the House of Representatives, she, of course, saw it a very different way.
No, I find it funny, and sometimes the math doesn't really math for me, because if we have filed bills that says that folks can have guns at 18 and that they're able to use guns at 18, I'm not understanding why a young woman would be able to make a choice to go decide to be an exotic dancer or a stripper. That may not be your value. But we're not here to legislate values. We are here to make laws. We are here to make sure that the laws of the state of Florida, specifically victims of trafficking, are safe.
And that was the sort of the broader context of the bill as well. But she's just wrong. All laws, I cannot say this often enough, all laws legislate morality. Every law represents a set of values. And that's exactly what they do. In fact, laws are codified intolerance. Intolerance is, you know, tolerance is when you don't like something and you put up with it. Intolerance is you don't like something and you don't put up with it. You take action to stop it, whether it's financial or physical or whatever. But look, fining and jailing people over behavior, which is the essence of a law, is codified intolerance over a behavior that runs so far contrary to the norm of values that a society through its governmental leaders wants to represent, that they become punishments. That's what laws literally are. They're always an embodiment of somebody's morality.
Doing this on International Women's Day, and this is just another way for women to be controlled. And the concern that I have is that while I was listening to debate, I know very well that if there's not controlled environments, young girls will go get pulled into private parties. Those things happen where though that's not a controlled environment.
Now, it's and I actually am sympathetic to this idea that the 18, 19, 20-year-olds right now, what will they do if this goes away? Well, unfortunately, they'll probably go in that direction. Although, remember, defenders of stripping have often made the argument that, well, at least it's not prostitution. At least it's not something else. It's quite a bit different from that. They want to separate them cognitively for you, which, of course, we all know there's not a really high level of separation between the two. But now what they're saying is, but for strip clubs, strippers would be prostitutes. Right. I mean, that's kind of a weird argument to be making. But again, given where we've been at historically, I kind of understand. But this is the last one. This one, well, here. This is her last comment.
I understand that this may not be your value, but you cannot legislate anybody else's value. That is not what we're here to do. And members, I'm upset that this amendment is on this very good underlying bill because we're caught up in something that should not be our business, but we should be protecting the victims of trafficking. And yet, once again, this House, this body is trying to legislate what women can and cannot do with their bodies. And it's overwhelmingly a lot of men who are trying to do that. And some of y'all like strip clubs. So I don't understand. And I mean, I'm, you know, whatever.
Whatever. I didn't think it was funny. You know, some of y'all like strip clubs. Okay, I did check, and yes, the vote was in the Senate. It was 35-3, and in the House it was 104-3. And this was a human trafficking bill. I think I said it was an employment-related bill. It was not. That was another one that had gotten the same kind of things got added on and removed later in the process. So here's the thing. There is a connection between human trafficking, predatory behavior, prostitution, and, by the way, underage exploitation. You know, I know one of the things that had kind of been hinted at in some of the conversations was, you know, you let an 18-year-old and there's going to be 15, 16-year-olds pretending. Or there's going to be people abusing 15, 16-year-olds, putting them up on stage either against their will, right, because you can't consent at that age anyway. I mean, it's all of that stuff kind of combined together. And I had, my initial reaction to this change was, you know, I want to be the free state of Florida. I want to allow people, you know, under a capitalist system. I don't like the inconsistency of our ages about what is and is not responsible. 21 for some things, 18 for other things, you know, 25 to rent a car. But, you know, you can be drafted, but you can't go buy a gun. I mean, all of that kind of stuff. But the more I think about it, I think I'm kind of coming around on this legislation. The one thing I wish is I wish they would have put in a transition period and some funding to try to do, like, job placement, job training, career counseling to try to help these women who are, you know, 18 or 19 and strip find a better occupation when suddenly they can't go to this, you know, particular place. 653 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Physical activity can make your life better. Spring is a great time to begin reaching your movement goals. The Florida Department of Health in Santa Rosa County is celebrating National Minority Health Month and promoting breastfeeding for all babies by holding the All Moms, All Babies 1 Mile Color Walk or Run on April 13th. This free family fun event will be held at the Baghdad Mills Site Park beginning at 10 a.m. Call 850-983-5250 to pre-register or for more information, visit health.gov/moveyourway for tips on how to get active.
NAS Wedding Field is a major training facility for our United States military. It produces more than 1,200 pilots a year and is the home to the largest air wing in the U.S. Navy and produces 100% of all Navy, Marine Corps, and Coast Guard helicopter pilots. But NAS Wedding Field has a lot more to offer and makes a huge impact to our local community. Tune in this Monday at 9 to hear what's happening at NAS Wedding Field on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Mary on Demand is live. Start your marijuana education journey today. Learn at your own pace and check out the Medical Marijuana Education Series. You decide what you'd like to learn and when with Mary on Demand. Visit mary.famu.edu. That's M-M-E-R-I.famu.edu. And remember, recreational marijuana is still illegal in Florida. Marry, educate, learn, talk.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
It's News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, the website, the app, or your smart device. It's news on your terms.
What we are dealing with here is a perfect engine, an eating machine. It's really a miracle of evolution. All this machine does is swim and eat and make little sharks, and that's all.
Good morning, News Radio. I'm Andrew, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, 6:55. We got Jake here with Traffic on the Fives. Jake.
All right, not seeing any major slowdowns on our roadways to report to you this morning. Looks like Highway 98 is looking good through Gulf Breeze and Navarre. If you're coming out of Milton this morning on Highway 90 through Pace, not seeing anything slowing you down. Highway 29 South through Cantonment and Inslee is looking good. Not showing any slowdowns on Pine Forest or in Carr City. Gulf Beach Highway not showing any delays. And looks like Cervantes is clear through the curve on Scenic Highway. If you see anything out there slowing you down, you can always call or text our traffic tip line. That's 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the Fives.
Oh, man, the most exciting restaurant news that I have received in a long time came in about 2 or 3 weeks ago. We found out that my family's, my boys especially, and my favorite restaurant in the area, which is Pounder's Hawaiian Grill over in Crestview. Niceville. All of a sudden, I cannot remember. I don't know. I get things confused when they're outside my area. Yes, Crestview, north of I-10. We always stop there. Whenever we're coming back, like from Orlando or Jacksonville, or even like when my son and I go play airsoft in Holt, when we drive past there, we're always stopping at Pounder's and bring it back home. It is by far the favorite. They open here in Pensacola. They are open now in Pensacola. It's like 1,000 feet from the station. It's right across the University Mall in the old Dickies building, right across from Academy Sports on North Davis Highway. The teriyaki chicken is great. The teriyaki steak is really good. The Kahlua pig. The sides themselves are amazing. The rice, the macaroni salad, all of it. It's a casual Hawaiian. Extraordinary. You get to pick the size, you know, 1, 2, or 3 meats with your sides, so you get to decide how hungry you are. Let me recommend, get the 3 meat and then eat it later for leftovers, because if there are any, you will love it. Anyway, Pounder's Hawaiian Grill is now open right there in the University Mall complex right across from Academy Sports. 657 News Radio 92.3. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, now that we're all hungry, Andrew, thank you
no
very much.
No kidding. Hey, I did that back to you. You did it to me yesterday.
That's fair enough. A rash of
Subway. Was it Jake yesterday?
With the bacon story?
Oh, no. Ugh. No, not that one. Stop it. Why? What? Go
well,
on, David.
Thanks, Jake.
Turn your mic off, Jake.
Take care of that. A rash of subway violence continuing in New York subways. A man in critical condition after being shot in the head on a subway train in Brooklyn yesterday afternoon. Best Buy apparently recalling 287,000 Insignia air fryers and air fryer ovens. They say there's risks of fire, burns, and lacerations. And just saw this big headline. Apparently, McDonald's has been hit by some type of a massive system failure across impacting restaurants all across the world. McDonald's said in a statement this morning that it's a technology outage. They're denying that it's a cyber attack. And they say it's forced many of their restaurants to close. I'm not sure if it's affecting any of our local stores or not, but they say it is affecting stores in the U.S. and all across the world right now. So,
all right, David, thanks so much for the update. 6:59 here on News Radio 92.3. Time for future news when we will tell you what's going to happen before it happens. After many, many conversations about the Florida's largest flag, will we have a Florida's largest flag this year, let's say, in Santa Rosa County?
I don't think so, no.
I think we will.
Oh.
Will it be at the administrative complex or somewhere else?
Somewhere else.
Agreed. And will it be funded by TDC money or TDT money or by private donations?
It's going to have to be private if it's going to happen.
I think it's going to be a mix. I think the TDC is going to give some, and I think it's going to be a mixture between public and private. Maybe $100,000.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.